Current events 2010. What a fascinating year we've got lined out for us here. And I want to draw, if I may, on a lecture taught not too awful long ago about the fourth vial. The fourth vial, as it is written in Revelation 16, is the only plague that God brings in the book of Revelations that was not applied to Egypt during the captivity in Egypt. So it only pertains to the end, so it makes it very important to us today. So I want to read it to you again. Chapter 16, the great book of Revelations, verse 8. Verse 8 reads, as we go to Revelation chapter 16, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun." So this very definitely has to do with the sun. And power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. This fire of truth. Fire of the real honest truth when a lot of people have been led down Primrose Lane. "And men were scorched with great heat," and that's to say the truth, "and blasphemed the name of God which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory." You know, there are some people that you just cannot teach. Very difficult to understand that because you're such good teachers and such good seed planters. But there are some people too stubborn for you, and they're going to stay that way. All you can do is pray and continue on. Turn with me, if you would, concerning the sun, to Psalms 19. Psalms 19, knowing that the fourth vial has to do with the very sun itself, and verse 19 reads, Psalms 19, verse 1 reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." I want you to let that sink in. When you look up at heaven, it declares the glory of God. Even if you look at the sun, and I'm not telling you to worship the sun, don't you go there. But it's the life giver. A plant couldn't grow without the sun, without the warmth from that sun, and how precious it is. But as we know from Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, God created the heavens, the lights in the heaven, the stars, the moon, and the sun, for seasons and for signs. He does use them for signs, and he makes us very aware of it. Verse 2, "Day unto day," or "uttereth speech." In other words, day after day, he sets forth the truth. Day after day, he pours forth, neba in the Hebrew tongue, he pours forth prophecy. Do you listen? "And night by night showeth knowledge." In other words, through the sun in the day and the stars at night, if you have the knowledge and the ability to translate, to recognize, verse 3, "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." And that is to say the very words of God themselves. They traverse, when you look at the heavens, the majesty. What are you compared to what he has done in creating the terra firma, where he fulfills it, and the very heavens, his walking place. Verse 4, "Their line," that's to say their inheritance, "is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun." Underline the word sun. Okay. That has to do with that fourth vial. And it is there, a tabernacle, a house for it, the very zodiac itself. But the house and the subject is here, the sun, listen to it. 5, "which is as a bridegroom." The sun is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. There's nothing in between, and there's only the one, the Son that our Father placed there as the light giver, that gives us life, and so it is. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's his doctrine. Coveting the soul, converting rather the soul, is restoring it, in other words. The testimony, that's to say to make a witness of the Lord, is sure, making wise the simple. And in other words, if you study it, if you look at it, if you follow it, anyone can understand it. God's word, that is to say. Verse 8, the statutes or the precepts of the Lord are right. Rejoicing in the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Eyes to see and ears to hear, to find a purpose in life. You didn't just happen here. Many have a destiny, some don't. But many were chosen even in the first earth age, and too many people are ignorant of the fact that there even was a first earth age, and yet science itself documents it. The earth is millions of years old. This word, if you know how to read the Hebrew, is millions of years old. You got to open your eyes, and you got to stop listening to Bible thumpers that absolutely have no idea what they're talking about. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Verse, one more verse. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The droppings over your mind of truth as you absorb them. I want you to know, he said, the son kind of symbolic of the husband that goes forth to take a bride. You ever heard of the final wedding? You ever heard of the bride of Christ? You ever heard of the signs that might announce it? And the fact that our Father's on the throne, that he takes charge. So when we come to 2010, if you were to look up on the 15th of this month and observe, if you happen to be in right places, what would you see? An eclipse of that sun. The travel of it, the umbra, that's to say the shadow, is an extremely important thing. You need to really pay attention. This is the story of the shadow. The front of the advancing penumbra, that's to say the outer shadow, meets the front of the earth just to the west of Lake Victoria, Africa's largest lake, the largest tropical lake in the world, and the second widest fresh water in the world. Partial eclipse quickly spreads east, southeast, and by 500 universal time, that's 5 o'clock universal time, is visible across virtually all of the eastern half of the African continent. Listen carefully. The lower halves of Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Oman, and Yemen. The island nation of Madagascar, and a large swath of the western Indian Ocean, where the action is right now, where the Christmas bomber got his orders from, Yemen. God knows what's going on. He can remove the light from whoever he chooses and put it in darkness, even with an eclipse. About 14 minutes later, the shadow comes into aim at the earth, but only the autumn reaches, that's to say the outer shadow. The track of the shadow begins in the westernmost part of Central Africa, in that republic. It continuing to the east, southeast, between 5:20 universal time. The shadow sweeps through the Republic of the Congo, Uganda, and Kenya. The capital cities of Kampala, population 1.2 million, and Nairobi, the most populous city in East Africa. It will witness the ring sun from Kampala. It will last 7 minutes and 36 seconds. And of course, you know if it hits Kenya, Somalia as well. Is it not ironic that this sun, this umbra, this shadow, is directing right where the trouble spots of the world are today? And if Father's giving you a sign, do you know what he's telling you? I'm aware. I know what's happening there. You'll never find a better hand of his placed upon this earth to indicate. It probably means also it's not going to be too long until he's going to do something about it. Because as we read from Psalms, it's the bridegroom going forth. This is a very interesting article. I'm not going to cover all of it. It isn't necessary. But at 7:40 universal time, as it continues across, the automandra, that's to say the ring around the moon, it's like a fiery ring when this happens, that shadow. It begins to encroach upon southernmost India. And during the next 20 minutes, it will pass directly between the southern tip of India and northern Sri Lanka. As luck would have it, Sri Lanka's capital city, Colombo, population 64,000, lies just outside the south of the shadow path, while the Indian city of Chennai, formerly known as Madras, population 4.2 million, lies just outside of to the north, and so maximum eclipse for these two cities at 7:49 to 8:01 universal time. Respectfully, the sun will resemble a narrow horseshoe with pointed tips. Want a little kick out of it? Between 7:57, you listen up, don't let this get boring to you. This path is extremely important. At 7:57 and 8:33 universal time, the shadow sweeps northeast over the Bay of Bengal, coming onshore near the border zones of India, Bangladesh, and Myanmar. Myanmar is the new name for Bermuda. I'm not Bermuda. Burma, okay. Changed through politics. Politics seems to be trying to change a lot of things. But naturally, if you get to Bangladesh, you're getting to right down where there is atomic energy in Pakistan, okay, which is right there through it. Bangladesh is where Pakistan and India are always warring back and forth, okay? God seems to have his finger right on the pulse of the trouble. It is astounding, amazing, that January the 15th of this year, I think our Father is saying, hey, don't sweat it. I know what's going on, and I'm going to take care of business. The Aurandra, that's to say this ring around the moon while the eclipse is, takes about 10 minutes to move across Burma, and it explains that the name was changed. That then at 8:41 universal time, for the third time, listen to me, for the third time in 17 months, the path of a center solar eclipse will enter the People's Republic of China. Now in the home stretch, the shadow roughly 345 kilometers wide will slide up across eastern China, crossing the southern foot of the Himalayas through Yunnan and Sikkim, provinces. Hope I'm pronouncing these right. Around 850 universal time, the shadow will be passing over the same regions that witnessed the great total eclipse of last July the 22nd. Chongqing, the largest and the most populous of the People's Republic of China's four provincial level municipalities, was in the totality path last summer and now finds itself squarely on the center line of this particular shadow, and at 8:46 universal time, 4:46 to 48 local time there. The shadow phase will begin and will last 7 minutes and 50 seconds at mid-eclipse. Onan, Afghanistan, the Caspian Sea, and Kazakhstan, it is the midday sun that is eclipsed over eastern portions of Mongolia, and China its setting sun. Okay. Now, and on it goes. Now listen to me. What's in the future as far as eclipses are concerned? We have a moon eclipse that will happen in this same place, in China. But coming attractions, listen to me closely. The next eclipse will occur on 2012, May the 20th. That's Pentecost for you. The track southeast of China, you know where it ends at? Around through the Aleutians and in the panhandle of Texas. Our Father's talking to us, and He's got a good message. It is assuring. You know, He protects certain, He protects people. He loves people. And we have a string of connections here. And so it is, amazingly so, that Father, on the 15th day of this new year, according to the civil calendar, not God's calendar, then He would show us this to document. On June the 26th, there will be an eclipse of the moon that will hit this same, will end in this same geographical location. You know, we've borrowed a lot of money, the trillions. And it would seem that right where this shadow ends is where that money came from. It's got to be paid back. And something's going to have to be done about that. And I think it's our Father tells us, do not borrow money from another nation. Trust me for it. But we've done the wrong, we've borrowed the money, and we're going to pay the price. But again, is it not strange? 2012 is also the next year of the next presidential election. But May the 20th is the same date on Pentecost that Mount St. Helens blew. So we've got benchmarks ahead. What was it that Psalm 19 said, that the Father speaks to us from the heavens? Naturally, His Scripture is what we go by. But at the same time, His Scripture declares the signs. And you want to be aware. What I'm telling you, that and a dollar will get you a cup of coffee about anywhere. Okay. So you have to do with it. Always stick to God's Word. But at the same time, you need to pay attention. There are some fantastic, exciting, vivacious events happening from the heavens to this earth. And I don't know what's ahead for 2012 Pentecost, but our Father does. Okay. Back to the Scripture. Let's go to Psalms 136. Psalms 136, I'm going to read the first 10 verses, and you may repeat after me the last half of the sentence, that's to say, for His mercy endureth forever. You can read that part out loud as I read, and I'm going to go straight through. Hang on. Psalms 136, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun, I emphasize, the sun to rule by day. The sun does rule, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. You can count on it. His mercy does. Mercy means His unmerited favor. You may not deserve it, but if you ask, He'll forgive you and consider you worthy. And so it is. Turn with me, if you would, to Malachi chapter 4. Last book in the Old Testament, last chapter in the Old Testament. If you have trouble finding it, go to the New Testament, first page, and turn back one. I'm just checking if you're awake. Okay. Verse 2 of chapter 4. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun, I emphasize, the sun of righteousness arise with the healing in His wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You're going to be like calves freed after they've been penned all winter. And you shall tread down the wicked. You're going to do what? You're going to tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. And so it is. Matthew 24, to complete this lecture. Matthew 24, verse 26. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, He is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, He is in the secret chambers, believe it not. In other words, He's promised here, there's going to be an Antichrist. And if they tell you Christ is out there, don't believe it until the seventh trump and the seventh vial. Okay. For as the lightning cometh up out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now what does that mean? Let's think a moment. What comes up in the east every morning? And what goes down in the west every night? I'm not talking down to you. I'm saying how simple God's Word is. The sun, of course. 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. The vultures, that is to say, in the Greek. That is to say, wherever Christ was crucified, and wherever the two witnesses are slain, that's where you're going to find the vultures or the Kenites. Immediately, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun, I emphasize, the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. In other words, God's going to shake not only the earth this time, as it's written in Hebrews chapter 12, but the heavens also. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It's going to happen. The husband's coming. We're living in that time. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect, who is who? His elect, from the four winds. That's all. Four winds always indicates the end, whether you're reading the seventh chapter of Daniel, the seventh chapter of Revelation, or the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. From one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree, which his branch, when his branch is yet tender, and put his forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. When did that happen? Well, if you were to go to Jeremiah chapter 24, you would know that there were good figs and bad figs, but the fig would be set out when Israel would become a nation again. It was the year of our Lord, 1948. But if you read Jeremiah, you know there was both good and bad figs. They're still there. It's up to you to spiritually discern, but to leave them alone. And watch the signs in heaven and the signs on earth, but mainly study the Scripture to the depth that Almighty God has given you. Never take this man or any other man's word for anything. You know how to read. God sent you the word. It's a letter he wrote personally to you. He loves you, but he wants you to return that love. He gives us signs and wonders if you'll open your eyes. And if you have eyes to see. You see, things are not by accident. Things are by God's divine design. And he's the best designer I've ever met. He designs things just right. I mean, he designed you. And though you let it turn to the side occasionally, then get it back together and read God's signs. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Thank you, Father, for these signs from both the heavens and the earth in this generation. Father, we know there are bad people out there. We know that they try to kill us. Give us the wisdom, the knowledge, and the experience that it takes to ground and stop the enemy in his tracks, just as the Scripture says we will. In Jesus' precious name.
There are three